I'm Jordan.
And I'm Rosanna.
And on this podcast, we explore how to take life off autopilot
and relentlessly pursue a life worth living
together.
Hello, and welcome to season 3 of the Relentless Pursuit podcast.
Hello, welcome. Glad to have you back with us. First, before we get into today's episode and really to season 3, specifically, we wanted to rewind a tiny bit back to our last episode at the end of season 2, which was season 2, episode 12, Hello 2021. And that's where we both took a few minutes to share some of our vision for this upcoming year. One of those specific pieces was we wanted to be more generous and more charitable this year compared to years past. So one of the things that we've begun doing is setting just a monthly goal. Every month, we're going to select a different charity that we believe in and can get behind and are going to be contributing to that. And as part of our accountability for it, as well as I hope a tiny bit of maybe an example to our listeners as well, is that we're going to be posting on our website each month which specific charity we have decided to contribute to. So if you go to the RelentlessPursuitPodcast.com, you'll be able to see on our homepage which charity we're contributing to at any given month. And hopefully, if you like that charity, then you can click on the link and add your own contribution, or maybe there's something more specific that you have in mind, and then we encourage you to go and to do that this year along with us in whatever way suits you best.
All right. So now that we're in season 3, well into the new year, taking January off and getting started, we thought that season 3 needed a little bit of an introduction to kind of explain kind of where we're going with these next 12 episodes. So, just based on everything that's been happening, in a world filled with uncertainty, trauma, hostility, and fear, we specifically are choosing to focus on love in its many forms. So from romantic love to brotherly love and even a more altruistic love, talking about charity and generosity. Mm-hmm. And although there's no right or wrong way to love, there's a beautiful fullness when your life has multiple layers of all three of these types. And the more I thought about that, the more I was reminded about this reading that most people have read when they get married. And it's this: love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Love never fails. And if you think about those words, I feel like love in all of its forms will allow you to relentlessly pursue a life worth living, a life of positivity, of action, of kindness, one of generosity, one of purpose, and one of meaning. Even in the interviews we have coming up this season, we have couples who are living what they love, and it's not only transforming their lives, it's transforming communities of others around them. And let me tell you, I'm super inspired by it, and I'm really excited about what we've got this season.
Yeah. So all of you will hear the regular variety of episodes and topics in season 3 over the course of the next 12 episodes, but you'll be able to kind of course this theme of love that is kind of interwoven within each of those conversations.
Yeah. And we're calling February specifically, what are we calling it?
So February in particular, we're going to call Love Month on the podcast here, for lack of a more creative title, I suppose. But instead of just making this a theme for season 3, we wanted February in particular, and I think because Valentine's Day is right in the heart of it, but we're going to really focus every day on the concept of love and all of its manifestations. So you will hear conversations on the podcast in the month of February that are all centered specifically on different attributes of love. But you can also check out our social media and our website, and you'll see some daily tips and some blog posts and some other things that hopefully will inspire you and get you thinking more about this concept as well.
All right, so let's dive in to season 3, episode 1, You're My Person.
You're My Person. It's a cute phrase.
It is a cute phrase.
Good episode title and topic.
So do you want to know where this term originated?
Okay.
So over a decade ago, probably close to 15 years ago, Grey's Anatomy was a top show. I mean, it's still playing now if you're still a watcher.
Still on.
But this term kind of was coined in an episode where best friends, Christina Yang and Meredith Grey, are together. Christina's going through this like difficult time in her life. And she explains a situation and then says, I'm telling you this because you're my person. Mm-hmm. And then that phrase has been kind of coined and used. I have a coffee mug here that someone gave me that says, you're my person. It's been hashtagged and all over social media. You know, kind of
I wouldn't say they came up with it. I mean, it's not so original, but well, it was popularized, perhaps.
Correct. But, yeah. But it was, you know, like, you know, bestie, you know, whatever. And then it was like my person. Mm-hmm. And so they say that in articles I've read about this and even kind of pointing to Grey's Anatomy, they said the term emerged right as it was becoming clear that millennials would be delaying marriage while investing in their friendships and their careers. Until there is a life partner in the picture, or even if there is never one, we need a word for the people who show up for us.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of what the episode is about today. Those people in our lives that are our person, that show up for us, that love us unconditionally.
Mm-hmm. All right. So I feel like this is a nice phrase because there's a little bit more heart and sentiment embedded in it that is difficult to articulate. So we're going to give our shot in trying to articulate what we each individually mean. And we actually wrote down our own definition, attempting to articulate what we each mean by this. So do you want to go first or have me go first?
Why don't you start?
Okay. I spent some time on this because when I think about that phrase, like, you are my person, I think of you specifically. So I wrote this with you specifically in mind. I don't think it had, and we'll talk more about like what it doesn't have to mean a spouse in particular, but for me it does.
Okay.
So I'm going to try not to get emotional as I feel it like welling up a little bit right
what?
Now. So I apologize in advance if there is a tearful pause, but let me give it my shot.
All right.
Okay. You are my person. In the vast, swirling chaos of an uncaring universe, you see me and I see you. You are my hand to hold. You are the arm around my shoulder. You are my number one. You are the one I celebrate. You are the one I am with. You are the one who knows me. You are the one I can look at and not utter a word and be fully understood. You are the one who knows my faults and darknesses and embraces me all the same. You're the one I trust, I lean on. Your recognition of me is my nourishment. It sustains me, and I never need to doubt it. No matter the abundance or lack, the victories or shortcomings, the challenges, pains, endeavors, the distances, the joys, the failures, virtues, the losses, and every experience life offers, you are with me. Without you, I am half an expression, a lost, incomprehensible utterance soon forgotten. And all of this you give me, I give just the same to you. You're my person.
I wish you would have prepared me for that. because that was way more intense than I ever expected a definition for the podcast. So thank you.
All right. So here we go.
So there you go. There's me crying on the podcast. Here we are.
Okay, I have no words. Need a minute.
Yeah. I need a minute.
All right.
So we said that we would share a definition with our audience. that is the most beautiful love song poem I've ever heard. I have a definition. It is a definition that okay. was not specific to you. It was just more to our audience. So I hope you are not let down by mine after that.
No.
You should have had me go first.
No, but I mean, this is really like what we're trying to focus on. It's like the heart. And it's so difficult to, I think, really capture with language and with expression, like what we mean by this. So I tried to be a little bit more artistic, you know, with that, because it is an intense feeling that I have for you. And I wanted to do my best to try to express that here.
Well, and over the last couple of years, you know, you have made it a point to tell me that I am your person, and you have friends and you have people in your life that are important to you. And you said, but Rosanna, you are my person. And so just to hear how deeply and how perfectly you wrote that is, is beautiful. And so I like, all I can say is thank you.
You're welcome.
How's that for Love Month, guys?
All right. So let's explore this a little bit more. You have your definition too.
Yes, more of like a technical definition.
More functional.
Yes, a much more functional definition that can be applied in any scenario. That's
good. You need the heart and you need the head, and I think
we
strike that balance.
So now I'm just embarrassed, but here we go. You're my person. They are your champion. They advocate for you. They cheer you on, accept you for who you are, and they can deliver tough love. They love you not only because of your shortcomings, but despite them. And then I just like pulled that out a little further that your person does not have to be defined by blood or law. So it can be anyone from a best friend or a parent or a significant other. So it could be someone that you're related to or married to, but it does not have to be, because not everybody is in a romantic relationship or in a partnership or in a marriage like that. And your person can be constant. Like you could have had the same person for forever, or it can change. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, you're 30 years old, you move, you relocate, you connect to someone, and that person from then on becomes your person. That maybe they weren't always there. They weren't always in the picture, or someone leaves you and then someone else, you know, unknowingly fills the gap and becomes your person. I don't think it's always someone you can pick or choose. Sometimes it just happens.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So to explore this a little bit more, and maybe to like, just like define this to ourselves, maybe, this is obviously something we want to meditate on, like this month in particular. So we have our questions and our conversation to get into that. I think your definition is great, because it addresses, I think, some of the little nuances of this that I was going to explore with you. So are you ready for some Q&A?
Yeah, I think I'd like to start, though, if that's okay.
Absolutely.
Maybe because I'm afraid of what you might follow up with.
My questions are not nearly as interesting as the definition.
Okay. So my first question kind of starts with a statement. I think the term my person really needs to be equated with vulnerability. So my question is, like, who are we most vulnerable with, or who are you most vulnerable with? You know, who do we open up to about the real and the raw stuff? And I think that can give us an inclination of who our person is.
Yeah. You know what image came to mind when you were saying that was, like, let's say you're in a group, even like a group of friends or people that you know. But once, let's say, certain people leave the room, like what then is like really on your mind that you can say, who's left in the room, when you can be like, okay, here's what I'm really thinking. Cause I think of this at work sometimes, where I'm in meetings all the time, but then like after the meeting, there might be like one or two like particular people that I'll seek out and be like, all right, here's kind of like what I'm really like thinking in regards to this. And, you know, I think about that with you in particular, like no matter what my thought is, no matter how inane or just like ridiculous it is, like I can verbalize that and have someone hear it. And I think that's the important part about having a person, is like we all have thoughts, we could all say them out loud, but having someone hear it and understand and acknowledge it is that piece that is so fulfilling.
Well, and, you know, just, yeah, I mean, there's this whole idea of vulnerability. You know, Brené Brown has written a book on it. Like, more people are talking about being vulnerable after years of, like, hiding things that, you know, that they are afraid of, or that they have shame or guilt for. And, like, who do you trust with those things? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's, for a lot of people, that's really hard. And so you and I have shared things with each other, you know, we've known each other a long time. So it's not like there's all of these secrets, but it's just your feelings. You know, there's things that you go through or things that you struggle with, and to be heard is really important.
Right. And so I think that's the important part, is it's not just what you're expressing, but it's also the way that it's received as well. So I could say the same thought to multiple different people, but the way that it's recognized is what might make someone my person versus not.
Okay. Do you have anything else you want to say on that?
Not specific. I mean, I think we'll come back to that. I have a few questions that I think we'll get to that.
You know what? Actually, sorry.
You have more.
Go ahead. Well, because I'm looking at the second question under that. And when you said, like, there's a room full of people, and then, like, once some of those people, like, you know, once some people leave, like, who's kind of left and who are you going to share that more intimate thing? And it just reminded me of this story. We have a lot of different friends from a lot of different parts in our lives. And I think that's the interesting thing as you get older. Like, we have friends from when we were kids or in high school, then you have your college friends, then you have like your friends from your career. And then once you have kids, then you have like the parent friends yeah. of your kids, you know, that you can, so you kind of start picking up all of these people. And so I was thinking about it, like it, you know, there's like a little small core, and then there's kind of rings that stem outside of it. And so they're like, you have your people, like, these are my people, and then this is my person. And I was always jealous of, like, there seem to be people who have, like, clans of people. Mm-hmm. Like, that, like, when they get together, you know, there's, like, 8 of them or 12 of them, or, like, different people have, like, these, like, little tribes.
Yeah.
And I was never really like that. I was, like, always close to, like, a person or two, or even just one. And, you know, now, you know, within the last year, I realized, like, I've started to have, like, these different circles, you know, from different areas. And someone that's like in one of the circles, she was going through something. She lost a job, and I showed up, and I think I had like a plant and a card for her. And I said, like, you know, if you need anything, we're here for you. I know that you have your people. But you know, I'm here just in case. And she said something that was very beautiful. And she said, you know, Rosanna, you are one of my people. And I guess I never thought of myself as that, because she has so many friends and so many people that surround her and love her. Mm-hmm. So even just to be considered in the group of someone's people is important. And so it's not that just that person is important. We have this other group of people that are still important, and that you can have multiple people, mm-hmm. and that you could still be my person.
Right.
And they're not any less important.
So would you say that, does everybody need a person?
You know what? I'm going to say yeah. Because you can have people, but if you're guarded around them, if you don't have someone that you really can lean on, I think it's tough. It can be tough. Mm-hmm.
And it can be, so, I mean, yeah, you can get along without someone who super, but it, I mean, life is so much more meaningful when you are like seen and recognized and understood by some other counterpart.
Yeah.
Does it have to be a spouse?
I don't think it has to be a spouse. I think we are, I won't say lucky, you know, we are, I count it one of my greatest blessings that you are my person, because, you know, everyone's relationship is different. Everyone's marriage is different. People are wired differently and need certain things. If I couldn't be who I really am in front of you, or couldn't feel vulnerable with being who I am, I think that would change our marriage. I think it would change our relationship. It would change our family. And I am just like a more, I like to talk about how I'm feeling. And so I need that from you. And so I think it would be hard for me not to have it for you, but I do recognize that it's not always a spouse.
Yeah. So if a person is married, like, wouldn't you say like they're, I mean, that's kind of what marriage is. Like, it's kind of this formal commitment of saying like, we are now each other's people.
I think so. But for some that takes time, mm-hmm.
Maybe in certain ways too. Cause yeah, I mean, I think about, maybe on like a day-to-day basis, you know, sometimes spouses can be at odds or just kind of doing their own thing in a certain way. But then when it really counts, like, I'm thinking of a particular couple and one of their parents passed, and, you know, they weren't known for their, outward affection, you know, but at that time, it's like, you know what, like, I'm your person, I'm going to support you through this.
I'm going to drag you, pick you up and push you through it. Yeah.
So maybe like, it's not, I think you can differentiate between like, there's this day to day, you know, kind of recognition by some other person, but also when you really need somebody, then I think that is equally important.
Well, and, you know, I would say that you're my person. Okay. And I would say 99 times out of 100, it's you that I'm going to go to. But there, I also feel like there's this like male female differential. Like, mm-hmm. sometimes I am speaking in this, like, something only a woman would understand.
I hear you.
I hear you.
Logically understand what it is you're saying, but at the same time, it makes no sense.
Right, correct. So, you know, although you are my person, that's why I think like you can have more than one person, I guess. Mm-hmm. Because I think for like a man, right, there's just all of these things in marriage that are hard and that are good, but sometimes you need like a friend's perspective, like that's one step outside of your marriage to like support you and lift you up and build you and talk you through it and give you some of that advice. And so like, you know, sometimes, you know, my mom is my person and sometimes I have a girlfriend that is my person. And so there are different people you have to go to for different reasons, but not everybody is my person. Mm-hmm. I have people, plenty of people that I love and, you know, that support me. But there are plenty of people that don't know my insecurities, my vulnerabilities, and, you know, the things I'm dealing with. Mm-hmm. And they're not meant to, and that's okay.
Yeah. So it's almost like to your advantage to have like maybe multiple people in your life who you would call like my person, but just because of who they are and the experiences and perspectives they bring to the relationship, they might kind of fulfill different roles. No two persons are the same.
Yeah, I think in the time that we live now, we wear many hats and we're not just this one person. Mm-hmm. And so to have like the support and love and understanding of multiple different people can help you wear those many hats and be those people.
Yeah. Or what else you got?
Did you ask a question? I feel like
I asked two.
You did? Okay, how about this? Does or should your person complete you?
No, maybe. I don't know if I totally understand that phrase like well enough to say yes or no. I feel like you, I don't know. I mean, in my definition of my person, I said, without you, I'm half an expression. So I feel like, all right, so maybe I'm a complete individual on my own. But I am amplified and, you know, made better, made into something more with you in my life than what I could have achieved independently.
Yeah, I like that. So this is, you know, gosh, we've been together forever. When I was 15, I thought you were supposed to like, you know, you were the end all be all, right? You were going to fix every problem I ever had, or like, because you loved me, life would be smooth sailing. You know, it's just like this picture of like, oh, you complete me. Mm-hmm. Now everything is fine. And like, as you grow older and you mature, like you realize like, if I'm not happy with myself, or if I'm not pursuing what I love, even if you love me, it's not going to be enough. Yeah. Like on your own, you have to be strong. You have to know what you want. You need to chase your goals. And the fact that you are beside me, cheering me on, only makes me better, stronger, mm-hmm. and not complete, but it amplifies who I am and what I want. Yeah. And so I think it's kind of like in the context of you're my person and like marriage myths, like we think this other person is going to complete us. And I don't think that's the case. It's like your person is there to help amplify who you are. They're not going to, you know, solve all your problems.
Exactly. So, and I think we'll talk about a few myths and a little bit. I don't have a question, but I have a word. I'm going to throw this word out to you.
Okay.
And I'd like for you to just respond to it. The word is redundancy.
Redundancy. I brought this word up to you, gosh, how long ago?
I don't know, maybe 10 years ago.
Okay. And what is the definition of redundancy for those who don't know?
All right. So redundancy is a word that it's a real word, but it is no longer really in use. We'd like to bring it back into style, actually.
All right. Here we go. Bringing it back.
So the definition of redundancy is to be loved by the one you love.
Okay.
So it's this reciprocation of love. So if you love someone, redundancy is that person loving you back.
Okay. And so what does that have to do with our conversation today? How do you see that?
So can this idea of you're my person, can that be one-sided? Like, can you have someone who you would say you're my person, but that person would not say, yeah, you're my person back?
Oh, I don't know.
Right. What if you were my person and you're like, yeah, that's great. I'll be your person, but you're not mine.
You know what? I think that's a hard question. It makes me think of this story. I shared it with you earlier today as we were kind of just prepping. And it was someone went to a funeral It was the funeral of her, one of her good friend's mothers, and nine people eulogized her. And all nine of those people would have said that she was their best friend. And so those other people didn't, they weren't all like, nine of them weren't all best friends. It was, she was this one person that was, and they talked about like how loving and kind she was. And she was this person for all of these people. But no one expected them, expected her to say like, well, you're, you know, you're my best friend. Like that you can have multiple people count on you and rely on you, mm-hmm. but that should not, whatever they call you should not be determined, should not determine the relationship basically.
Right. So, and I just think about that because I think the most common way like this might come up is that like we, you know, like people are one another's person. There's this symbiosis to it, this kind of interdependency and this reliance on the other that makes that relationship so strong. But when we have multiple people in our lives, then, like I said before, each person might play like a slightly different role that independently has a melody that when added together creates the symphony of your life.
And that's, I think that's a beautiful thought. And that might not be the case for everybody, but I think there are unique individuals just because of like who they are and how they're built and how they relate to people. Like they, people are drawn to them and, you know, people, you know, like find solace in them and support and comfort and like bravo to whoever that person is. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that should diminish anything if it's not, you know, they're not titled or it's not exactly reciprocated. It doesn't mean that there's not love there, or there's not friendship, or there's not understanding. It really shouldn't matter who calls who what or when or how.
Well, I will say unequivocally that Rosanna Catapano, you are my person.
Thanks, babe. You're also my person. And I'm not just saying that because you're on it. And, you know, we've had that conversation before. But it doesn't mean that like some of the friendships I have with my girlfriends or my mom.
Right. Those aren't diminished. In
those any way are not either. Diminished. But, you know, you and I have a different set of intimacy and vulnerability that I do not have with them.
Yeah.
You know, like the birth of our four children.
We got something special going on.
We got something special going on.
All right. So I kind of want to transition in, unless you have other questions that you wanted to look at.
I have like two questions that I think I just want to get to really briefly. Can your person change?
Yes.
Okay. And why do you think that is?
Because you change. Life changes. I mean, the people who are my person in high school or in college are... you know, those relationships change. You know, sometimes you just even physically move away and you meet new people who maybe better represent who you are at that time.
Okay. So life is filled with change. And so therefore sometimes your person change depends on the situation. Mm-hmm.
But I would also say like, especially in marriage, like you, I mean, you're married, like you are committed for life to being that other person's person. So you can't expect your spouse to stay the same the whole time. And you kind of need to like change and appreciate and, you know, aspire to be their person no matter what, like phase of life or age or you are.
Oh, I would agree. We are not the same people we were when we got married 15 years ago mm-hmm. or when we started dating 22 years ago. But changing together and acknowledging someone's change, like it's a slow progression. And so you have to kind of learn the other person as they change. Last one. Will you and your person always agree? Will it always be smooth sailing?
No. Someone who is just, you don't want a person who's just like that yes man or yes woman in your life too. So it's helpful to have someone who can speak truth in a way that still like affirms rather than injures the relationship.
Okay. All right. So where do we go from here?
All right. So speaking specifically about marriage, I know that you've listed a few marriage myths and brought up one or two of those already. But I think in particular, when we think of like my person and, you know, we've talked about how the spouse really plays a significant, if maybe not the most significant role as our person in our lives. But there may be some false expectations that come along with that too. So you've prepared a few myths. We'll read all of them. Maybe we don't have to talk about all of them, but maybe see if you or I have fallen prey to any of these myths, or at least maybe talk about others that we have seen in some way or another.
Okay, so the first one, happy couples do everything together, or even you and your person do everything together, you and your best friend do everything together. That is a myth, right? Like, we live together, we have a family together, we have children together, we have different careers, we don't do that together. Even sometimes when we go out socially, it's not together. You'll go out with a guy or guys, I'll go out with a girl or girls, or do something like that. Like, we don't do everything together. And having shared experiences is great, but having different experiences, different lives is important, yeah, because then you bring something special back together and you're teaching each other and you're learning together and you have something to talk about. Mm-hmm. So I think that's, you know, could be a myth, like, oh, this person's not my person because we don't do everything together. Well, in reality, you can't.
Right.
And it's not going to happen. Nice,
but no, it's probably better off not that way. All right. Why don't you read through the list and then we can pick a couple.
Okay. Marriage solves all of your problems. Good, healthy marriage. Can I get through,
like,
the list?
I thought it was like makes as many problems as this. Yeah. Sorry. All right.
Good, healthy marriages come naturally. Never go to bed angry. Healthy marriages are conflict-free. Your spouse completes you. Marriage is always equal. Your partner will automatically know what to say and do to make you happy. Having kids brings you closer, and therapy is for fixing broken marriages.
I want to ask about one. So maybe the fourth one, I think, never go to bed angry. Why is that a myth?
I was reading on that, and, like, you know, that's like something people always say, like when you're getting married, like never go to bed angry or whatever. Cause you should always, like, resolve and rectify the situation, like, immediately. And you shouldn't have animosity when you go to sleep so that when you wake up, it's a fresh start. Some people will say, if you're mad, like, you can tell someone, I'm upset with you about this and I still love you. But, like, sometimes you can't just make it go away. Mm-hmm. And so acknowledging that, like, I'm still upset about this, like, I'm going to work through this, or, like, this is how you disappointed me. Like, I love you, but mm-hmm. I'm a little mad right now. Like, so not expecting that you can just say, like, clean slate. It's over, because sometimes you hold on to it for a little longer than that.
Yeah. I mean, I have gone to sleep angry, but I think in general, it still seems wise. Like, if it is resolvable or addressable, like, don't put it off. So I don't know. So that one seems a little bit more nuanced to me. But yeah, okay. I sense why that could potentially be a myth. All right. So the other one that I want to bring up is the 10th one. The last one that you listed, it says therapy is for fixing broken marriages. And that's true. It, you know, if there's a problem and you kind of bring in the professionals to help fix what is broken, but why is that a myth? Like, what else is there to it?
Well, I think, you know, therapy has a stigma. And so people use that as, like, a last resort. And so, you know, we had talked to Casey Lloyd in season 2, and she is a positive psychologist. And she said, instead of, like, waiting until you're at the point where you need to be in therapy to fix something, you can, you know, use a professional to, like, take you from good to great. Mm-hmm. That you don't have to wait until something's broken. Like, things between us are good, but could talking to somebody else about a relationship and the goals we have for it, like, help us become stronger or better or figure out a better way to do things? Sometimes we don't think in those terms.
Mm-hmm. Great. Any on here that stood out to you?
Happy. Well, no, I think, you know, we've really talked about a lot of those. So I think it's just good to remember whether your person is your spouse or whether your person is a girlfriend or a guy friend or a parent or a sibling, like, you can apply some of those same myths to the relationship. Mm-hmm. You know, that although this person is special, important to you, they understand you, you're vulnerable, they're not always going to say and do the right thing. You're not going to do everything together. And, you know, relationships will ebb and flow, but that person's love and respect for you and the fact that they will listen and acknowledge where you're at is the important thing. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not going to be holding hands all the time.
Right. All right. So just in terms of takeaways and kind of our last words of inspiration to all of you listening are that, you know, we sincerely hope that you do have a person, and especially this month, during Love Month, we hope that you can really focus on the love and your sincerity that you have for those really special people in your life, and really think through what makes them stand out, what makes them your person. And if there's a way to express that or to show your gratitude for the role in their life, in your life that they play, then this might be a great month, a great time this year to really express that.
Yeah, you know, today is February 3rd. And so that gives you an opportunity to use February as a time to kind of think. And so whether you're writing your friend a Valentine or a Galentine for Galentine's Day, or just doing something during this month, it's a good time to like reflect and to think about those people you love and let them know.
Absolutely. All right. Well, thank you for joining us and helping us kick off season 3. And we're looking forward to sharing a lot more specifically about some other attributes of love and some other exciting things that we have coming to you this season.
Yeah. See you next week.
Bye, everybody.
Thanks so much for listening to today's show. We hope you'll use this conversation as a starting point for your own. We hope you're encouraged to think and act more intentionally.
If you want to learn more, you can visit our website, therelentlesspursuitpodcast.com, where you can find notes on today's show, plus additional blog posts, and you can subscribe to our free members list.
Please subscribe, leave a review, and share with your friends.
Facebook and Instagram are two great places to connect with us for daily doses of our quotable quotes, behind the scenes, and real-time photos, videos, and challenges.
Until next time, let us know how you are taking life off autopilot.
And relentlessly pursuing what matters.